Chapter 24, verse number 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Verse 29 says, or 28, so Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Joshua, as at the latter part of his life, we know that, we just read it. He gathers all the Israelites together, and he rehearses in their mind of what God had done for them. We're so easy to forget what God has done for us. You know, in the book of the Psalms, that said they soon forgot. They had a short-term memory of what the Lord had done for them. And Joshua goes, if you read the whole chapter, the first 12 verses, Joshua's rehearsing to them of what God had done for them and how God had blessed them and given them what they have. God set it up, He just give it to them. You know, my life's been like that. God just set it up and put me there. I thank Him for it.
Amen.
And then He comes down the where the rubber meets the road, and He knowed, and as a leader, that they were, a lot of them, I'll say not all of them, but a lot of them were shaky. A lot of them were weak. A lot of them were wavering and drifting. And a lot of them were this. They were not completely committed. If there was a definition of modern day Christianity, modern day church members, that would be the plague of this hour of not being completely committed.
Yeah.
Just part-time Christians, if there's such a thing. It's difficult to live a life that's not committed. It don't matter what it is. If you're not committed to it, you'll not be faithful to it. People get married, a lot of times they're not committed. We just don't commit ourselves to God the way we ought to. And a lot of times in our lives, we're just not completely committed unto what God says. And I found this to be true. Thank God, persistence and staying with something. Thank God, and just doing God's will on a consistent basis. Praise God, is where the fruit comes from. And that's what He meant. If my words abide in you, it's an abiding thing. And when people don't abide, thank God, where God wants them, and then they'll not bear fruit, and their life will be back and forth, back and forth. You know, I've been saved now for over 30 years. I probably have more battles with myself and the will of God and things like that now than I ever have. I thought the older I get, the easier it get, but it seems like the older you get, the difficult days still come. You say, what's the answer? He is. Now, Joshua says to them, he said, fear the Lord. In other words, respect Him, reverence Him. He's God. He's the one that brought you where you're at right now. And then he went on to say this. He said, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away them gods that your father served. And he said, if it seem evil, if this don't please you. And I like what he said. He said here, he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. I want to preach this morning on choose. I guess Joshua's decision for himself and household has been an inspiration to generation after generation. How many times you read on a house or in a house, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It's probably one of the most printed verses that we'll find in people's homes or outside their homes, even back here on the church wall as you walk through the hall, this text is here, this verse is here, and there is a choice to be made. And Joshua said, choose you this day. He put the hammer down and said, this is the day that you need to make a choice. And it is a choice, thank God, that you choose to do. Amen. And you have to choose to do it. I've got to choose to do it. And friend, and thank God, if we don't choose to do it, then it won't be done. Listen, God puts in you desires. God puts in you a drive. But brother, you got to drive. Amen. You've got to act upon what God says. It's not robotical. Thank God, God is sovereign. But man is responsible. And man is responsible in this day as he ever has been. And God says that we need to follow him. And Joshua says that y'all need to choose you this day. So it is a choice. There's always through the Bible choices. Cain had a choice. He was rejected for his offering. And God said to Cain, He said, if you'll bring the right offering, if you'll do well, he said, shalt thou not be accepted. Amen. He had a choice. Thank God, but in his hard heart and in his prideful soul, he chose not to bring the right sacrifice. And God judged him. And Cain went out, my friend, and killed his own brother and became a murderer and a vagabond and never done nothing because he didn't choose right.
Right.
My choices and your choices affect each one of us.
Amen.
Your choice affects you.
Yeah.
This is what Joshua said. He said, but it's for me and my house we will serve the Lord.
Right.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you. You can't make nobody serve God.
Right.
It's still in my head sometimes to try to tell people and talk to people. They'll try to convince them what they ought to do. There's nothing wrong with that, but they're going to do what they want to do. Unless God deals with their hearts. If God don't deal with their heart, they'll run their course to hell. That's what they'll do. They that's my friend, have no desire to choose God and choose the way of God. But I'm telling you what, you that sat here today, and that's who I am preaching to, you do have a choice, and you will choose one way or another. Every time you hear a message, you've got a choice. Thank God to obey it or disobey it. And there's no neutral ground when it comes to what God says. Amen. That's right. So I want to speak to you about choosing. I think about the rich ruler that come to Jesus. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he said, them have I observed from my youth up. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. He said, sell what thou hast and give to the poor and come follow me. That's what Jesus told him. He had a choice.
He did.
That young man had a choice.
Yeah.
You know what he done? He left sorrowful.
Yeah.
He had a choice. Now you can choose this morning. by the help of God. And you and I both need the help of God. But you can choose this morning, thank God in your own heart, by God's power, what you're going to do. Amen. I can choose what I'm going to do. But I want to say this morning, thank God, that if you choose, thank God, not to serve Him, then you'll make the wrong choice. Amen. I want to say, first of all, you need to choose to be settled. Have you ever saw such an unsettled day? People don't know what they believe, who they believe. Joshua said this, I like it, as for me. He was a leader. In fact, Joshua was a soldier, son. He was a man that served God. He had been the servant of Moses. He had watched Moses, lived with Moses. Thank God, my friend, as a minister of Moses. But there's a day God said, Moses is dead. You're going to lead the Israelites. Amen. And God magnified him. God used him. But now Joshua's at the end of his life. No doubt, my friend, he's 110, the Bible said. And he said, I never want you to know, thank God that you've got to make a choice, amen, and make the choice to choose and to serve God, amen. Now I want to say this, and it's sad, but it's just the truth. A lot of times, churches, people in general, that's who churches are, is people, after a man passes away, they choose to go another way.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. God builds things around people. Christ is the one He builds it by.
Yeah.
But He builds a church. He builds ministry. He'll use people to do it.
Yeah.
Joshua was their leader. But when Joshua died, they went backward. Read it all through the Bible how many times that Israel went backward when their leader died. Amen. That's right. It's just a fact. Thank God. And I'm just saying this. Joshua, when he's 110 years old, apparently he was near that age. That's how old he was when he died. Looked to that same people and said to them, choose you this day whom you serve. And then he said, I'm settled on it. As for me.
Yeah.
I tell you what you need to do this morning. You need to get settled. In fact, Elijah said, why halt ye between two opinions? Why are you hopping back and forth? Why one minute you're here, one minute you're there? I'm not talking about living a life of perfection, but I am talking about striving for a life of perfection and wanting God more than anything else. And when we do fall like she sang this morning, I'm glad there is mercy. I'm glad there is forgiveness. I'm glad God does restore. And I'm glad God puts you on the path. But I've done you one thing. What you choose is how you live. Amen. Like what Brother Milby said to me one time. His wife's name's Edna. He said, me and Edna decided to go out west for a week on vacation. And he said, on the way out there, I think it was a water pump or something on his car went out. He told me that. I said, that had to be a discouraging thing, wasn't it? He said, no. He said, before we ever left the house, we chose in our own heart we was going to have a good trip no matter what. You know, I got thinking about that. How you set your heart and attitude and how you choose some things, it's gonna, my friend, determine what the outcome is in how you live and what you do. Thank God, during difficult times and through times of doubt and through times of fear and through times, my friend, that you don't really feel like doing it, but thank God you said, I'm settled on it and I'm gonna do it. Amen. God help, we need to be settled. I see so many unsettled people. I look at young people today, and under God, they have no idea what they're going to do. Now, I won't say I was young one time, and I was the same way. I got saved when I was 24 years old. Where would you be today if you hadn't got saved? Hard to say.
Amen.
Might be in the grave.
Yes. Right.
I won't say this. If I hadn't got saved, I probably wouldn't have been in church.
Right.
Unless it had been a courtesy call just for my name. But it wouldn't have been at a church like this. It wouldn't have been around where people's got something for God. Because if I got around people that's really on fire for God and settled in their heart for God, I'd want to get out of there because that's going to convict me.
Amen.
Yeah. If there's people that's committed unto God in the church, I'm telling you one thing, it'll bring conviction on people that's not.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I talked to Brother Gene this morning. He brought Brother Robert to me. He said, I like it. Older gentleman there in the church. I said, yeah, he's a good one. I said, he's 90 years old. He said, is he there? Is he 90? He said, boy, he's ready, ain't he? I said, yeah, he's ready. I said, I like him. Amen. That's what Brother Gene, I like him. That's what he said. He's this man 90 years old. He's a committed man. You think the blessing of God's going to be on anybody? He said, you read the whole chapter. Joshua said, if you go back, God's not going to bless you. He's going to hurt you, amen? And exactly what happens in our lives when we're not completely committed and we think in our hearts that we're going to have the blessing of God because we attend one church service a week, you forget it. It's not committed just to the church. It's committed to Him and His will for your life, amen? As for me and my house, well, see, he was settled. I want to tell you what Joshua said and his wife didn't. Joshua said, as for me, I got a good wife God's blessed me with. But I'm telling you one thing. If I don't live right, it's going to affect her. I've said this in a person. She's a better person than I am. God just put me in the position of the leader of the home. Thank God that I am who I am by the grace of God. But I'll tell you what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house. Thank God Joshua took the initiative. And Joshua said, as for me and my house. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this too. He was settled. But I'll tell you something else he was. He was not only settled, thank God, on his choice, but he was sure. He was sure. He didn't have to think about it again. He was sure. How many of y'all even sure you're saved? You can't never serve God till you know you're saved. You say, preacher, I got saved years ago. Well, where have you been? Where have you served God? Where have you lived for God at? I don't believe a man gets saved and backslides 30 years and then decides to go to church and sing in the choir and then say he's saved. That'd be like a baby being born 30 years later. You find him somewhere and he said, yeah, I was born 30 years ago, but I ain't never seen nobody. That's right. I mean, how can anybody say that I've been saved, but they don't have no evidence of it, and they never have been faithful to God at one time, and they say, well, I hope I'm all right. I'm going to tell you what, you just fooling yourself. Joshua, sure, he says, for me and my house, he can never make that claim unless he was sure that he had been saved and born again. Amen. Thank God for the witness of God that's in a man.
Right.
You say, preacher, how you know you're saved? Thank God I've been born again, been made a new creature.
Yeah. Right.
The witness is on the inside. The Word tells me so. I can only go by what God says. That's an experience. You think you're going to get saved without experience? Well, I've seen them little old babies coming in the world, being born out at the hospital, and when they get born in the world, you think, brother, thank God that's an experience. Amen? I mean, just think about that baby coming through that birthing canal, and coming out, and them cutting the cord, and wiping that little old baby off, and that baby starts to cry and moving around. Amen? I'm saying that's an experience. If a man gets saved, he has an experience. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God for that. I'm telling you, the day you got saved, you had an experience with God. Amen. That's not, amen, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It's the Holy Ghost grabbing a hold of you and saying, look, you're a lost, hell-bound, deserving sinner. Look, I got good news for you. You don't have to live there. Thank God there's a Lord, Jesus Christ, that died for your sin, and you can come to Him as you are. You don't have to do nothing but just come. And He said, if you'll come, I'll do the saving. Amen. Yeah. Thank God for that. That's what He done that day you got saved. Amen. That's what He done the day you got saved. If you, thank God, if a man gets saved, that's what happens. God comes and says you lost, and He draws you to repentance. Thank God. And then you ought to choose to be sure and make sure in your heart that you got born again. Amen. There's nothing in the world can take away what happened in your heart.
That's right.
I've seen men in the lowest condition, but I'll tell you one thing: if they ever been saved, thank God it's still there.
Right.
The Holy Ghost still witnesses.
Amen.
He can't deny Himself.
Right.
He tells you. He'll tell you, you're getting old time service like we had the other Sunday morning. You know what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll tell you. He'll come by your way. Amen. I like what an old preacher said one time. Thank God. He said the line of the tribe of Judah. Thank God that's in the cat family. Amen. And he said what that cat does, he purrs on people. Amen. And he said, God, get around. He'll come up and purr on you. He'll let you know you're one of His. Amen. You don't have to sit there and wonder what's going on. You don't have to sit there like you, amen, like you're white as a sheet. Amen. You just get in the service and know God's around. Hey, friend, out there, you know when God's around, if you got God in you, amen. That's right. Praise God. It don't cheer me. I want more of it. That's right. If it did bring me under fear, I'll fall on my face before God and say, have mercy on me. I must need some help from God. Amen. That's right. And I've been there too. Amen. I've been in searches where I wasn't really in tune in my heart. And the Holy Ghost come in. You know what I got to do? I got to get in tune before I get in tune. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad the tuner's on the inside. Amen. I tell you, thank God you got to know. Joshua said, choose. Thank God. How to be sure. Amen. Be sure who you going to serve. Amen. I like them three. I like old Daniel and them when they got down in Babylon, that captivity. They said, eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. He said, no, we don't have purpose in our heart. We're not going to do that. They didn't wait till they got there. They had already purposed before they got there. Amen. That's right. They had already purposed in the heart. They wasn't going to drink the wine and eat the king's meat. Hey, God. But brother, I'm telling you this. Amen. He said, be sure. Thank God. Then I won't say not only be settled and be sure, but be sincere. You know what that word sincere means? Be honest. Do it in sincerity of heart.
Yeah.
Don't play no games with God.
Amen.
Don't say something you're not going to do is what He's saying right there. He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You need to make a choice who you're going to follow. You need to make a choice what you're going to do. He knew he was about to leave out, and he was charging them. Thank God that they need to make a choice in what they're going to do. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't say this. He said, "Be." I think he's saying be separated. That's what he's saying. Either it's God or it's the other gods.
That's right.
Boy, the more I thought about this and studying this scripture here and what Joshua went through to tell all these things to these people here. When I go back to that day and Joshua's day, it's really about hard to compare it to this day. Even though the scripture is profitable and the scripture is for instruction in righteousness. Even though we know that. We know that the day that they lived in is a different day from now. They didn't have automobiles they got in rode around in. They didn't have televisions and computers and cell phones. So how are you going to bring this down to the day we live in? Exactly the way I'm preaching it. You'll either choose God or you'll choose the other way. You can't serve both. You can't live for both. You can't serve two masters. You'll hate the one, love the other. Thank God, I'm telling you what, you can't serve two. I tell you one thing, when you're separated unto, it'll keep you separated from everybody else. Amen. Yeah. Don't say this. Not only be separated, but be straight. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. Joshua knew that they had gods of this world in their homes. He knew that. Look at verse 21 if you got your Bible open. I'm sorry, verse number 23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. They had within their tent some strange gods. I just don't think me getting up there preaching against everything is going to get us to get rid of things. I used to do that and found out it didn't help. Law preaching causes people to live by the law, not by grace. Law preaching does bring conviction. Law preaching is needed. But I'm just saying, law preaching most of the time, my friend, will not give people the grace, thank God, to turn from what they need to turn from. They had some strength. Their forefathers lived in some of that. In fact, Abraham come from an idolatrous house. I really believe Abraham detested idolatry and detested them other gods, but it just seemed like it just followed the Israelites all the way through. I mean, you live in Egypt 400 years, and all they got's a bunch of idols down there and a bunch of sun worshipers and all kind of false worship, and it's going to get in you some. In fact, old Rachel, she took Laban's little old god, amen, and sat on it over there when they searched her tent, and she had stole his idol or his image from his house, and it must have been important to her, because before Jacob ever went back to Bethel, God said, he said, you need to get rid of them idols and bury them, amen.
Yeah, he did it that.
Isn't it amazing of what we see? It just affects us.
Amen.
And here, even Moses had to beat the and destroy the serpent that was made that delivered the Israelites out of death over there in the book of Numbers. They worshiped that idol. They worshiped that. You can make anything idol. At one time was my friend here, the Israelites were delivered by it, and now they're worshiping it. And Moses had to tear it up. This thing is crazy. I want to tell you. You just read the next chapters of these Bible here. Here's Joshua. They live for God under his leadership. God takes them into a land of milk and honey. They're blessed. They got a great inheritance that they didn't work for. God gave it to them. And now Joshua's about to die. And he says, you need to choose who you're going to live for, who you're going to serve. And he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's already settled. It's sure. Thank God. And I'm going to do it. Amen. They had foreign gods in their own tents. They needed house cleaning. I want to ask you a question this morning. Can I ask you this? I can answer this for myself. You'll have to answer in your own heart. What's really hindering you from serving God? If I give you a piece of paper and pencil this morning and I said write down three things that's really hindering you from serving God, I'm telling you what, friend, you'd find out them things, my friend, that we made a lot of in our lives is usually what's hindering us. Joshua dies. Isn't it amazing? Joshua and Joseph lived the same amount of years, 110. I want to take you on further now and I want to end this message. Joshua dies. And now the people of Israel, you can see them fading. You can see them backsliding. If you read in the Bible right there, it said as Joshua lived, that they served God, they lived for God. Even after his death, then some of them elders lived for God. But in Judges chapter 2 verse 10, it says this, there arose a generation after them that knew not the Lord.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, how can a generation rise up after Joshua charged them to serve God, and they said they would, and now here comes a generation after them, amen, that has no service or devotion to God.
Right.
Says they know not God.
Yes.
How can that happen? And here's the answer. They lived amongst heathen that they wouldn't drive out.
Yes.
Them old Canaanites and Perizzites and all them different nationalities and nations of people was around them. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. You better hear what I'm about to tell you. Where you go to church and where you're raised and where you and who you hang around and who you're around, it has a great effect on you. If you listen to people and hang around people that's God negative and just don't want to hear about God, negative on the Bible, negative on preaching, negative on the church, that's negative, and all they got's a carnal life, I'm telling you, you raise yourself around that and you'll be just like them, amen. I have nobody to blame but myself for anything that I do. I don't have my wife to blame, my children to blame, my grandchildren to blame, my church to blame. I don't have nobody to blame but myself if I don't serve God. I don't bring up my past life much because God forgave it. But a man's first drink usually comes because he's with people that's doing it.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And what happened here after Joshua dies, they're living and have a life around the inhabitants that they're supposed to drive out of the land, and they didn't drive them out, and they ended up being like them, amen.
Right.
And get this here, God brought a judge in. God brought another nation in to become over them and rule them and bring them under bondage because they sinned against God. Boy, if we ain't talking about America, we're talking about America. America sinned so much against God Almighty, buddy, he put Obama in the White House as judgment against this country and to fulfill his will and his scripture. But I've done you one thing, amen, the only hope for the church, thank God, is either revival or rapture, and we know that, amen, exactly what God done to Israel, amen.
Right.
We're as blessed this morning as any nation on earth.
Yes,
we got resources, we got blessings, amen. God's been good to us, and just like Israel, God gave them everything they had. They went in and obtained everything God gave them, and you know what they did? They forgot God and went after idolatry and a bunch of heathen false gods.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I like athletics. I do. It's in my blood. I don't like it. I like it so much sometimes. But the fact of it is, sports has robbed people, and sports has become idolatrous in this country. And brother, there's more people filling up stadiums on Sunday than they are the house of God. Race tracks are full. Stadiums are full. Restaurants are full. That's right. Sometimes me and my wife will just say on Monday or Tuesday we'll go out to eat, and I'll say, let's go to this restaurant. Probably won't be that many people there. I think, where in the world is everybody going?
Yeah.
I don't wait to eat. I ain't waiting in line 30 minutes to eat. The next day, you ain't going to know what you ate anyhow. I've seen people getting fights about at restaurants. Hey, I was in line before you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know why? That's their God. Remember in the Bible, he said their belly's their God.
Yeah.
What's that fleshly appetite? See, I wish this morning old brother Joel Hyde. I mean, I wish somebody's up here preaching what I'm preaching, and I was sitting there and I was bowing my unworthy head and saying, God help me. Because I know me and I know the battle I have, and I know the flesh the way it is, and I'm telling you what, it's just the way it is, but I'm telling you one thing, God won't let nothing come before Him, and if it does, He's a jealous God. Amen. I'm just going to tell you this morning, as Joshua told him. It's tough, man. It's just tough. I mean, you're a young man. You got your good job, everything. And I'm just telling you right now, by the grace of God, here's a good young man, the grace of God. The grace of God. Look at all the things the devil's throwing at him. Look at all the things the devil's throwing at us. Here, you don't like that one, I'll give you this one. You don't like that one, I'll give you this one. That's what he does to me. He just knows what I like. He knows what affects me. He don't really know what affects this little boy. He knows what works on most men, though. Here, I'll try that one. But the older you get, the more they come.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, you think Paul saying, I finished my course, you think that was, my friend, a light statement? No, sir. It wasn't a light statement. There's not a million people who can say, I finished my course, I kept the faith, I fought a good fight. Amen. I told the young people, I was preaching to them the other day, and I told them this, I don't like going through the motions and nothing. I don't wash dishes much, but when I do, I like to rub the bowl hard enough to get the dirt off. When it's congregation singing, I like to sing. I don't like to stand in the pew looking like I'm a mummy. When you're playing an instrument, thank God, play it. When you're preaching, preach. You don't have to be like this, but thank God, put a little something in it. When you kiss your wife, kiss her.
Oh, you
betcha. Amen. When you hug your wife, hug her.
Amen.
When you tell her you love her, thank God, put some expression behind it.
There you go.
And when you pray, thank God, pray. When you read, read. Thank God, when you do something, quit doing it through a bunch of ritualistic motion and get on fire and let God help you do it the way you ought to.
Yeah.
Amen. I had this heart trouble. Had that heart surgery back in January 13. It about killed me to come here. I question myself. Hear somebody else preaching, then you can't. I've asked the Lord.
I don't think no two people's alike, and I don't think anybody would be alike.
Right.
So I asked the Lord this. I said, Lord, it just about kills me to hear a man preach. I mean, why? Because it's
the fire, yes, sir. The fire.
Amen. I mean, there's something in me says, thank God. Let's go with it. Preach the Word of God. There's something that rubs me on the inside that says, let's go. And I can feel like I preached the air just hearing a man preach. Amen. People sing, man. I mean, what about that song they sung this morning? The mercy of God. Thank God. I mean, that's the mercy of God. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. I might have to be pushed in a wheelchair one day. But thank God I want to get in here. I won't say it again. You're not here to work your job. You're here to do the ministry of Christ through your job.
Amen.
You're not. How old are you now? 15? 14? All your life, whatever you decide to do in your life, whatever you decide to do in your life, is for the glory of God. It's for the ministry of the gospel. I don't know what you're going to do, whatever it is, for the ministry of the gospel.
There you go. Yeah.
Amen. You go to work the burn. You work on all them fire trucks, police cars, all that. And you know what? You're there because God puts you there for the glory of God, the ministry of the gospel, to do your job by the God. I just want to say you need to make a choice. If you're not saved, you need to come to Jesus. And if you're saved, you ought to make a choice and say, well, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I know what Bible I'm going to use. I know what church I'm going to. I know what kind of hymnal I'm going to use. Ain't going to be no contemporary music. We're not going there. We're going to stay at the old time preaching and singing and stay with God. And I know that's what I want in my life. And if you don't, then God will help you. But I'm saying one thing this morning. You need to make a choice on who you're going to serve. And Joshua said, choose this day. Let's stand.